I played terrible at the end, but we got to win, you know, that's all that matters. And we got one more to go, and we got to focus here. We didn't do nothing yet.
For Luka, terrible is not the word our guys would use to describe his 42-point, 13-assist performance last night. And LeBron season on the brink. How can the Lakers avoid an early exit? Timber! Dame time cut short in Denver in Game 5. Can Portland force Jokic and the Nuggets into a Game 7? So take a bow, Trae Young. The jump, indeed, starts right now.
Welcome to The Jump, presented by Dell.
I was all in on that bow. You've got a back and forth with the fans the entire series. You win, you are allowed to talk your talk. Absolutely. Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols, joined in studio. I'm just going to keep repeating those two words. NBA champ Matt Barnes and the host of the Hoop Collective podcast, Mr. New York Times bestseller, Brian Windhorst. Guys, we're going to get into Trae's theatrics. We'll preview the East semifinals with Malika Andrews on this show. But first, Los Angeles is an interesting basketball town. There is very little that Lakers fans seem to like more than making fun of the Clippers. At the same time, there seems to be very little that Clippers fans like more than watching the Lakers trip and fall. So it's been quite a roller coaster stretch here in LA. First, we had the Clippers going down 0-2 at home to the Mavericks, while at the same time, the Lakers were up 2-1 on the Suns. And let me tell you, at that point, the Lakers fans had all the jokes. And then Anthony Davis got hurt, and the Lakers looked lifeless. While the Clippers went into Dallas and ripped off two big road wins, which meant, yep, a lot of big talk on that side of the fence. Now, though, now Lakers and Clippers fans have a lot more in common than they would like, with both teams on the brink of not just elimination, but the kind of early elimination that produces franchise-shaking soul-searching. Let's game out the conversation if tonight the Lakers let the Suns win a third game in a row and close the defending champs out on their own floor. Some of it will be about bad luck and injuries and bubble hangovers. And all of that is valid. It's hard to go much of anywhere when your two biggest stars miss huge chunks of time. And hey, the other team from last year's bubble finals is already out of the playoffs and lounging on South Beach. But a first-round playoff exit would also expose some real questions for the Lakers about the degree to which LeBron is finally aging, about Anthony Davis's consistency, about the other pieces in the starting lineup. Personally, I would have loved to have seen the Lakers pull off the trade for Kyle Lowry that was on offer back at the deadline. Yes, it would have cost LA Dennis Schroeder and a piece of the future, but when you have a 36-year-old LeBron James, the only mode to be in is win-now mode. And boy, could the Lakers use Lowry's grit and experience right now to help them bridge through AD's most recent injury. Meanwhile, over in Clipperville, things feel even more dire. Luka Doncic is nursing a neck injury, and yet last night managed to once again be the best player on the floor, racking up 42 points, 8 rebounds, 14 assists. Or to put it another way, he either scored or assisted on all but 6 of Dallas's baskets. That is insane. In fact, in the history of the NBA, no one has ever accounted for a higher percentage of field goals in a single basketball game. And the irony is that a challenge like Luka is the exact reason that 2 years ago the Clippers traded nearly everything in their offices that wasn't nailed down for the rights to Paul George and the chance to sign Kawhi Leonard. These are two of the NBA's best two-way players, and we've seen them both be absolute lockdown defenders in the past. But neither has been able to do that in this series. And offensively, well, PG has had some strong games in a row. He was plus 17 last night, and LA's biggest problems came when he was sitting with foul trouble. Kawhi has also had his bright spots, but when last night's game came down to a 3 in the corner with only one defender on him, he airballed it, sealing the Clippers' loss. Afterward, cameras caught Rajon Rondo giving Kawhi this look, which, as you can imagine, NBA Twitter had a field day with. There was this, and then super, you see the Rondo face on the, yeah, that's not right. Still, the biggest question with Kawhi isn't about how he's going to bounce back in Game 6. It's what happens if the Clippers lose Game 6. Remember, PG signed an extension with the Clippers in the offseason. Kawhi did not. In fact, he has an opt-out in his contract to become a free agent this summer. By the way, this is a fact that Lakers fans usually love bringing up to Clippers fans, but we actually didn't even see much of that last night. The roller coaster for both these teams is in free fall right now. They've got too much about their own situation to worry about each other. So, Matt, You have played for both of these LA teams.
Yes.
Which one is in more danger right now, the Lakers or Clippers?
I would say the Lakers from a standpoint of AD is had an injury-prone career, and the groin he went down with doesn't look like something that's going to heal in a week or even, you know, 2 weeks. But do you even risk bringing him back tonight knowing that he has a, you know, an injury-filled background? You know, to me, if I'm looking long picture, long term, I know, like we said before the show, if they lose tonight, they have a vacation. But still, do you even risk that? Because groins are those one injuries that you can't really tell you're really ready to go, even if you're feeling good, until you're actually in the game and you have to do something instinctual, not directed by a trainer before the game, cut left, cut right, come forward, come backwards, but when you have to instinctually act in a game. So I'm erring on the side of caution. And with that said, with AD's health uncertain, not only for this round, if they're able to sneak past this round, we're not sure if that'll happen, but just long term, you got to really protect AD.
Well, the Lakers are in greater danger because they're banged up, not just AD, as you mentioned, but LeBron's still not right. We can see that. And, you know, KCP is not right. And so If you're going to try to win a game against a team like the Suns, who's playing great, you got to have your full array. But I will say this, that even if tonight's is the end of the Lakers season, they're going to, you know, be a little upset, but they can look up into the ceiling and see the banner. They can look down at the star on the floor. And look, there is a tax that was paid by all the teams that went deep in the bubble. The Heat are gone. The Celtics are gone. The Nuggets are hanging on for dear life, even though they're really badly beaten down. And if the Lakers go out in the first round, it'll be a disappointment. But it'll be like, you know what? If this was what we had to pay to get that title, it's okay. So that's not something the Clippers have. And so the Laker fans will still have bragging rights no matter what happens the rest of this week.
What do you see happening with the Clippers if they don't make it out of the series? Because we remember the expectations that Kawhi Leonard and Paul George came into with. Streetlights over spotlights, all the comparisons to the Lakers, the disappointing second round exit after being up 3-1 in that series last year, and then nobody would have predicted a first-round playoff exit this year, especially after they essentially pick their playoff opponent in the final couple days of the regular season.
Well, as you mentioned, Luka outplayed Kawhi last night, and that's not a drag on Kawhi. That's going to happen. Luka's an all-time great player, I think. The problem is games 1 and 2 of this series, the way they performed in those games, and now they've got to pay for it. So I actually have been spending the last few hours, and this is going to sound ridiculous, researching what Steve Ballmer did at Microsoft when they had failures, because unfortunately for him, he had a couple of giant failures when he had a couple of huge successes. That's why he's worth $70 billion. He had some big failures. Remember the Zune? Didn't work. To see what they did. But honestly, I think when you look at it, they have not gotten the requisite point guard in here. And when you look at the organization, you can look at other things, their issues. Their point guard situation is really not excusable, and so that's why I think if there's a penalty to be paid, it's going to be by the front office. But it's not like those guys have not done a good job. They have.
That's
Somebody's
insane.
Just going to probably have to pay.
What
but let's
think?
Keep in mind that it takes a handful of years to get a good team up and rolling, and I think the fact that they play in LA and there's so much pressure from down the hall to win something, win, because they never have won. This team's only been together for 2 years, and they really, their stars.
But Matt, Kawhi signed for 2 years.
You're right. But the stars in both seasons really haven't got a chance to gel because they've been in and out and so inconsistent. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, I still feel like they have a chance to come back and make some noise in this series. But at the end of the day, if they happen to lose, I mean, to give something only 2 years before it has to be blown up is crazy.
Well, I don't think they're going to blow it up. I don't think they're going to blow it up.
Not necessarily blow it up, but if Kawhi walks, you're starting again. Obviously, you know, you'll still have Paul George and some other pieces, but Kawhi is the center focal of that team. So if he walks after 2 years, that's really up to him. But to me, it's crazy because it's really only been 2 years. And you know, any team that's made a run or a dynasty, it takes some time. Lakers got lucky getting AD and going right away, but it doesn't only happen that
way. I don't think anybody knows how Kawhi feels. We learned that a couple years ago. But
right.
You can relate to this because you spent a lot of your career trying to play in Southern California or at least on the West Coast. You sacrificed a lot.
Right.
I know you left a lot of money on the table, and that's for a podcast. Kawhi sacrificed a lot and did a lot to get here. I don't think he's walking out the door.
I was going to say, again, he has not shared what he's thinking. In fact, I sat down with him earlier this year, and he very specifically declined to answer that, and that is completely his right. If you made me put money on something, my money would be on Kawhi staying here. I think that he wanted this fit with this team, and I think he's dedicated to seeing it through. But I do think that this organization is going to have to take a long look at itself if they have a second-round playoff exit and a first-round playoff exit, because as Doc Rivers said last year when he was still the coach, the goal is not even to just get to the conference finals with this franchise. The goal was a title. And this would, of course, be falling short. But who knows? Maybe they make a stand in Dallas. And this is what's great about these, like, pivotal games. It could be just part of a great story, right? It could be one step along the way where they stood up and showed how gutty they were and then went on to win a title. So you never know. Let's talk about more, though, the Lakers' health situation. Anthony Davis currently listed as a game-time decision after missing Game 5 with that groin injury. LeBron James also has never in his 15 playoff appearances lost in the first round of the playoffs. So, Brian, coming off that 30-point loss in Phoenix, what do you think has to change for L.A. tonight?
They've got to figure out a way to get some space. LeBron, without AD or without AD 100%, they need more scoring. The only way LeBron can provide more scoring is if he can get into the lane. And if you watch it in this series, the Suns' defense has been getting closer and closer and closer together. Part of it is that the Lakers cannot make an outside shot. Part of it is Andre Drummond can't bring Ayton out of the paint. And LeBron is having difficulty getting space to operate. They have got to figure out a way to create driving lanes because their offense isn't good enough without LeBron, you know, scoring a lot of points.
I just think we've been so spoiled for so long. And when I say this, it's not even in a disrespect, but LeBron is getting older. I think we're accustomed in situations, especially like this. He's been built for these situations where they're shorthanded and he's going to come out and put the cape on and score 40, 50, 60, do whatever it takes to be done. And you're 18, not that he played bad, 24, 7, and 5. He is just not, I don't even want to base this off of one game, but like I said, I just think we're starting to see that he is actually getting a little older. So these role players are going to have to step up. You need Kuzma to step up. You need Drummond to step up. Whatever's going on with Harrell, you're going to need his energy out there, him to play. You need Caruso to play well. You need Schroeder. You need these role players to carry their weight. They're getting paid good money. They need to be able to carry their weight. And then, like Brian said, they need to have some driving lanes because you don't want LeBron settling all night from the outside. The beginning of last game, it looked like he had a pep in his step. He was bulldogging people, getting to the basket, scoring, but then that stopped halfway through the first quarter.
You know why I think it stopped? Because I think he realized it wasn't happening.
That early?
I do.
We will find out if it continues or starts or stops again tonight. It is going to be quite the game right across the street. All right, guys, coming up, we're going to talk about the game on the East Coast last night. Trey bid MSG adieu. Accomplished something that hasn't been done since Michael Jordan. That's always a nice sentence to be able to say. We'll explain. Look at this. The NBA named Damian Lillard the Twyman Stokes Teammate of the Year. Previous winners include Drew Holiday, Mike Conley, Chauncey Billups, Tim Duncan, and our very own Vince Carter. Matt, this is voted on by players about players who they think the best teammate in the NBA is. Why do you think Dame won?
He's a confident professional. He always has his team's back. He always takes the blame, even if it's not his blame. I'm sure I know him, so he's always a positive, motivating person. And, man, hats off to Dame.
It's a cool trophy, too. It's probably the coolest trophy other than, you know, the big gold one.
Now, some of those other teammates could help Dame be a teammate in their next game.
Shoot the ball. Make
it. Help. Let's shift over to the East. Trae Young and the Hawks advancing to the conference semis last night. Marked the Hawks' first playoff series win in 5 years, so great step forward for Atlanta. Trae led the way with 36 points, 18 in the fourth quarter. Took that little bow to celebrate in front of the faithful. Here's what he said after it.
Yeah, I mean, the bow is something I did it in high school after I hit a game winner. And leading up to this game, I know where we are. I know it's a bunch of shows around this city, and I know what they do when the show is over, so that's pretty much what it was. So
I loved everything about that. How special was Trae Young in this series? He joined Michael Jeffrey Jordan as the only visiting players with three straight 30-point games at MSG in the postseason. So, yeah, that's pretty good. And that consistency that it's not just a like, oh, he had one great performance.
No.
He boom, 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 with the Garden fans going crazy at him. So the pressure was crazy.
Well, that's how you go from like an all-star to on your way being a superstar is your consistency. And to me, very happy for him. It couldn't happen in a better situation. Not only was it MSG, but there was so much disrespect that's obviously been noted, spit on, you know, verbal abuse. And to be able to go back and do that three straight times, beat them, it's impressive. And, you know, definitely, again, I'm very happy for him. And I just love it. He is unrattable. That's not even a word.
Rattleable?
Rattleable, is that it?
I liked how you said it, though.
Rattleable, you know what I mean? He's someone who just, you know, for a first time in the playoffs, you know, first time in the playoffs to step off and step up and pull the stuff he's been doing and be able to lead his team, not only scoring, but being able to pass the ball and get the rest of his teammates involved too, man. Atlanta's playing well. And again, with Embiid's health uncertain, this next round is not going to be as easy as people think it might be for Philly.
So a few months ago, I was talking about how some people in the league were, some executives were questioning whether Trey was a franchise max player. And then this phone rang. It was his agent. He was not happy about that, I'm going to tell you. And to see him in this game, to see him in this series, he is ascendant. Some people get into their first playoff series, and one of them was in this series, and I'm not looking to throw any shade. One of them was in this playoff series, and you know the pressure was a little bit much for Julius Randle. And you know, look, it happens. That happens up to a lot of great players. And there are other players who are special who get into a tough situation like this under pressure and thrive. Trae Young has thrived in this series, and it's extremely exciting if you're a Hawks fan and you're not like, is this the guy? Can he take us to a finals? Like, I honestly think that was a question. Looking at this now, the sky looks much higher for him.
Well, it's a good lesson, first of all, that if you are that kind of player, you can use some of the harder times you go through as building blocks, right? So Trae Young had a period in college where the way defenses started swarming him as he played better and better and he got more and more attention, he struggled. And by the way, fans let him hear it, and he heard it from all kinds of pundits around TV also. He had a point after getting into the NBA where defenses learned to play him, and he struggled, and he heard it from everyone, and there was the whole, oh, should have taken Luka, and like all of that stuff. Look, this is a guy who took those experiences and used them.
Absolutely.
So when he got all of this pressure, when he got all of that criticism early in this series, it was nothing for Trae Young. Trae Young's been through this before, and you can either be broken by those experiences or you can use them to build you up. And I was so encouraged by seeing that. I will say, I am giving not only a pass to Julius Randle, to the Knicks in general, the idea of what they accomplished this season, making the playoffs, having home court, being the defensive team that they were. I would not want any more from them if I was a Knicks fan. I know you're disappointed with the way this series went, but you got to consider this.
Okay. Absolutely. I couldn't have said it any better myself. I mean, obviously, on the flip side, they haven't been in the playoffs since 2013. They made it. They got home court. They won a game, got the energy back in New York, and they definitely have something to build on. They're heading in the right direction. So it's not a complete disaster. A little disappointed how fast they flipped on Julius Randle for not playing well, but that's what happens when you know you're on the biggest stage in New York and you're the star player. But overall, definitely great building and looking forward to the future.
Yeah, and look, he has a model in Trey, right? You know, use this experience. Use it to build yourself up. We'll see what he comes back with next year. All right, coming up in this show, after dropping 42 and 14 assists on the Clippers in Game 5, we will play a round of Can I Have a Word assessing Luka's performance in this whole series. Stick around. You're watching The Jump. Welcome back to The Jump, presented by Dell. I'm Rachel Nichols, still here with Matt Barnes, Brian Windhorst, and friends, you see the signs. It's time for another installment of one of our newest Jump games. Oh, yes! Can I Have a Word? We give you the topics, you describe them with one word. So let's begin with Luka Doncic, who led the Mavs to their third road win of the series against the Clippers. No home team can win here. He's averaging 35 points, 9 assists, 8 rebounds per game in this series. And even after his 42 points, Luka said he played terrible down the stretch of the game. So he's just so glad his teammates picked him up there. So kind of him. His word is terrible. Brian, what is your word for Luka's
word? My word is the very opposite of terrible, is majestic.
Like a majestic because moose? Like, what are we talking?
A moose.
No? Okay.
It's because when you think of majesty, you think of something that's huge and all-encompassing. And that's what he is for a game. You know, the way he played last night reminded me again of LeBron early in his career. Except for LeBron couldn't shoot like that, where he would pinpoint the defense's shortcomings and attack it, whether it was him driving, him shooting, him passing. That play at the end of the game where he got Chris Porzingis at open three, it was almost like Peyton Manning waiting for the safety to creep up and then bam, right over his shoulder. I mean, this guy thinks the game brilliantly, plays the game brilliantly, obviously plays through, has played through this injury. Just tremendous all around.
Mine is, they forgot to put the, but future. Luka's the future
different
of this league.
Different from future.
Right.
It's an entirely different segment.
The future. This kid is going to go down, as we were talking at the break, as one of the greatest all-time players. And something I compare his game to as far as LeBron is he has his imprint completely on the game. He has the pulse of the game. He has the flow of the game. There's no holes in his offensive game. He's able to get his teammates going as well. He's probably the most unguardable player, you know, in a short list of guys that can't be stopped. I think the Clippers have to throw their pride out the window and start running doubles at this guy, trapping this guy, doing whatever they can, because one-on-one is not working with him.
Well, so that's a question I would have for you from an X's and O's standpoint. He either scored or assisted on all but six baskets.
31 out of 37, right?
Right. Yeah. When we have other guys like that in games, we've seen the box and Steph, basically, right? The four guys on Steph Curry. We've seen how Damian Lillard has three guys on him every time he crosses the median line. What would be, if you were defending, if you were on this year's Clippers team and defending against Luka, what would you want to be doing?
You have to run people at him. You have to blitz his pick and rolls. I think you have to fight over some screens. I think they switch too easily. This is such a everyone switch every position now. But back when we first, when I first came in, we're fighting over picks, chasing them over, running them into the big, make sure the big is up on the pick. If we're not blitzing, if we're not showing, we're just giving him different looks. They've given him different defenders, but they haven't given him different looks. All he knows has to do is when Kawhi or PG's on him is call someone out and get those guys off him. So to me, those guys have to fight over picks, trap him, run doubles at him, and maybe even deny him the ball. He's unstoppable right now.
Rick Carlisle threw a real curveball. He started that massive lineup.
Hold on, right?
They played zone, and the Clippers weren't ready for it. And then Luka, despite having all that size out there, goes for 19 points in the first quarter and gets it going.
Yep.
Rick Carlisle won the strategy game with Ty Lue in that last night. So, you may not know how the Mavs are going to start tomorrow night's game. That's a factor.
I will say that's been one of the fun things about this series, though, because I loved Ty's adjustment a couple games earlier with going small, right? And I thought, okay, that's interesting. Let's see what happens. And the Mavericks really couldn't handle that change. And then they came back in Dallas, and you've got just two coaches who are really great X and O coaches. So I think we'll see a little bit more tonight. Next up, we have Chris Paul, who has the chance to lead the Suns to a series victory against the defending champion Lakers tonight. Look, there have been plenty of criticism for CP3 in the playoffs in the past because he's never reached a finals, but everyone sitting at this desk knows Matt has been on the court and present for some amazing Chris Paul playoff performances. Those somehow get overlooked sometimes, but I would expect him to come out with force tonight. So, Matt, can I have a word with what a Suns win would mean for CP3?
It's just step one. Although they're playing the defending champs and LeBron, him and LeBron are friends, CP's been down this path. He's been through the first round. He's been through the second round. He got to the conference finals, but then got injured. I hate that he's injured again, but obviously the Lakers could say they hate that AD's injured and LeBron is not healthy, but just happy for him. He's wheeled out there. I talked to him the first day he hurt himself. He's like, Maddie, my arm feels like it's on fire. I'm tingling in my hands, can't close. My body's stiff. For him to be able to tough it out and go out there, and it's not even so much about the points again, it's about his presence, his talking of defense, his leadership, still getting the guys the balls in the right situation. But I just hate when you see Chris come off the pick and rolls and he's maneuvering around that free throw line. That pull-up jumper is going to be money, not 8 out of 10 times. And the fact that he can't consistently shoot that, I hate seeing that. But I mean, again, they're in a battle. I love what he's doing. But this is just step one if they're able to get past the Lakers.
What's your word?
If they
Brian?
Win tonight. My word, my arms are not as long as Matt's. I have to tell you, is relief, because you're right. He's been past the first round. This doesn't make his career. But to eliminate LeBron in a series where he was really dinged up and wasn't sure he was going to be able to keep going. I mean, Rachel, you talked about it. Monty Williams was like, I don't know if we're going to put him out here. He told you that.
Right.
Yes.
And this wasn't just something, he played great, let's create a little storyline before the game. So to get through this series, to get a little bit of extra days, and look, the Western Conference playoffs, things do not get easier, okay? They're going to get harder. But just to be able to persevere through this, which looked like for a little time, like this could be another mark in that column where, a disappointing end to a season, I think would be, huge for him.
Yeah, and look, this is where almost every team can legitimately say, we got a guy banged up. We talk about the Sixers, we talk about the Suns, we talk about the Mavericks. Luka made a pass a couple games ago where after he made it, he doubled over in pain because he looked to his left. looking to his left caused him so much pain that he literally doubled over on the court. So all of these teams, save I think Brooklyn's finally the healthiest team going now.
And LeBron,
right?
You know, LeBron is not healthy, obviously, out there. You know what I mean? So it's just like I said, at this point, and we talked about this. I mean, these guys are playing a lot of games, and you feel bad. You know, the hangover from the bubble. You know, these guys. You know, LA made a long run. Some guys made a long run, but these guys are playing a lot of basketball. And I commend everyone who's out there trying to suck it up and play through it because it's not tough.
Absolutely.
I mean, excuse me, it's not easy.
Not easy, absolutely. And we will talk more about Brooklyn. Again, irony, after their three stars could barely get on the court at the same time together through the season, they are primed for a fantastic second round. Everybody's healthy and ready to go. When the Nets face the Bucks, what does that series mean for both teams, especially the Bucks long term, considering how much they changed their team last offseason? Malika Andrews is going to join us. Can't wait for that. First, though, here's what The Jump recommends for today on ESPN+. Zach Lowe writing about how the Grizzlies are primed for ascension with John Morant as the centerpiece. Memphis just building just such a great culture there. Check it out during the break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Jump here, presented by Dell. And we now welcome in ESPN NBA reporter Malika Andrews. So nice to see you, friend. And the East semifinals are set. You will be there. We've got on the East side, the top-seeded Sixers hosting the Hawks. Game one, Sunday on ABC. While the Nets and Bucks, this is the rumble everyone has been looking forward to, beginning in Brooklyn on Saturday. Now, for Milwaukee, this was the round they were eliminated in by the Heat last year. They righted that wrong at the beginning of this year's playoffs. But now, as they try to break through for their first finals in 47 years, Malika, what does this mean to their franchise long term?
It means a lot, Rachel, and not this individual matchup with the Nets. It's sexy. It's exciting. I'm excited to watch it. But in talking to Giannis Antetokounmpo this week, he said that this season, a difference in his approach overall is he's always been competitive, but he's really trying to zero in on putting on his blinders and just focus on himself. I'm still not sure I believe him when he said he didn't watch game five between the Celtics and the Nets because, I mean, come on, he loves basketball. But he said that that's really not what he's trying to focus on. He's going to watch film. He's coming into practice. He's trying to limit some of his outside basketball. Again, this is the guy who built a gym when Bud put a lock on it. But that's the approach that they're having. And PJ Tucker said today, one thing that has impressed him the most about coming into this Bucks organization is just how much fuel they have taken from these last couple of seasons where they fell short. We've seen it over and over again. We know what this means to them. But he said that he's really been struck by how they've used that as motivation for this year. He said that Giannis was so focused on beating the Miami Heat. He was not going to let that series go. And he said that that made PJ Tucker raise his intensity level. We already know he's pretty intense. They keep check marks on the board of how many games they have left to win. This is a team that is locked in, Rachel.
I don't want to overstate this.
Here we go.
But
Malika, you know when we hear that sentence. Anyway, Brian, continue.
I think this series
sounds like Giannis saying he doesn't watch.
I think this series is about the future of the NBA. Because the Nets are operating like this is all about the most offense you can possibly produce. Mm-hmm. That's what they said when they basically went for Harden and said, we are going to play like the Showtime Lakers on steroids. We're going to just absolutely go as hard as we can. We're going to score 145 and good luck. And then I think the Bucks, who can put up 140 on a good night as well, don't get me wrong, have spent all of these assets on versatile defenders, not just Drew Holiday, but as Malika mentioned, PJ Tucker. Those two trades have completely gassed their ability to control their own draft.
Right.
And they did that because they realized in the NBA, you still got to defend. You just need versatile defenders. And so, like, if the Nets just come down and just like, listen, we're going to just outplay you and outrun you, I don't see why other teams won't mimic that and just go full 1980s all over again.
Yeah, this is a big series for Milwaukee. I think they've done a good job of kind of floating under the radar. They've been the one seed, and that didn't work, and we found holes and critiqued. But they've added great pieces. With everyone you mentioned, Brian, also adding Bobby Portis, Bryn Forbes shooting the ball well. This is the best this Milwaukee team, in my opinion, has been playing in the past 3 or 4 years. And what I liked is they fooled around with rotations during the season, even if that may have cost them a loss or two early on. But just to understand that we have these rotations, we have guys, we could play these different combinations. So I'm willing, this is going to be a great series. I'm not sure who's going to win, but I think whoever wins this is going to represent the Eastern Conference in the finals.
Yeah, I mean, I threw out to these guys during the break, is whoever wins this the favorite for the NBA Finals, the favorite to win the title with the way the West, so many other teams are having problems. We will find out. It will be interesting for Milwaukee, though, which really did go all in on retooling this team. At first it was, did they do enough to have Giannis resign? Well, that box got checked. But this is what they can do. And if this is not enough and they go out in the second round again, I don't know if you're Giannis and the Bucks and you go back to the drawing board and yet another offseason. I just don't know what else you can say besides, hey, we ran into some pretty bad luck here. Malika, when you talk about the Nets side of things, how much do you think they took away from their Celtics series? I was at one of those games, and I mean, the Celtics were depleted. It was kind of hard to get a sense in the game I was at of really where the Nets were.
Yeah, well, and Steve Nash has said, Rachel, that, look, we just had to play the team that was in front of us. So, yes, we understand that they were depleted, but that wasn't something they he said, we're missing Jeff Green. You know, things happen, right? But what the Nets are taking out of that series is they just had more time together on the floor to try to build that chemistry that they've been trying to get all season. They've still only played 13 games with the big three all together. And so to have that additional five games, that's what was important to them. Yes, this is a team where those big three have combined for 27 all-star selections, but this is also, you mentioned, both Matt and Brian mentioned a case of offense versus defense a little bit, although the Bucks have a big three offensively of their own a little bit. They've averaged over 85 points per game, Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, and Giannis Antetokounmpo against the Nets this season. But what I'm also looking at, instead of just the offense versus the defense, I'm also looking at experience versus not. 2 years ago, when the Bucks lost to Toronto, they said, you know, we're trying to overcome a lack of experience. That's the boat the Nets are in right now, whereas the Bucks have this waterlog of experiences and adversities that they've gone through together.
Yeah, and look, it's going to be fascinating. That doesn't mean there isn't a series on the other side, though, and we have the Sixers who advance despite Joel Embiid's absence with that meniscus tear. Brian has said it many times, there's no minor knee surgery, there's no minor knee tears. They're calling it a small tear. I don't know how small it is when it's your knee. The Hawks, meanwhile, winning their first series since 2016 with that victory over the Knicks. So with Embiid's injury looming, Matt, which player do you think is going to make the biggest difference? If it's not Joel Embiid, is it Ben Simmons on the Sixers side or is it Trae Young on the Hawks side?
I think it's Trae Young to continue his energy and stellar play, not only scoring the ball but getting his teammates involved. And similar to the AD situation, Embiid is someone who's been injury prone, particularly with knees. So to me, like, it's going to have surgery at some point. Do you really risk that right now? This obviously, this team is playing well. They're the one seed. They have championship aspirations. But again, does the risk, outweigh the reward? Similar with Anthony Davis. I mean, everyone, we're saying that's small. But any injury to these type of guys who have been injury prone is not small. So err on the side of caution. But to answer your question, Trae Young's energy is going to be the key to this series.
I think Ben Simmons, because of Trae Young, because Trae Young was the difference maker in that series against the Nets, the Knicks. And that means that, you know, Ben Simmons is going to, I mean, his size and his versatility. I mean, Scott Brooks last night, I mean, the series is over. There's no more reason to, like, pump up the opponent. Scott Brooks, like, he's the defensive player of the year. I voted for Rudy Gobert, but I understand why he's saying that. And, like, so let's see what the defensive player of the year, by Scott Brooks' standards, can do on this force, who is a massive, massive focus in this series.
Is that going to be the Ben Simmons is almost 7 feet tall, and Trae Young is tiny. That's going to be incredible, and that really just speaks
that's
to
this
point.
That's why they have him.
That's going to speak to this point. If he can slow down Trae Young at his size, people don't understand how big Ben Simmons is and then how small and fast Trae is in real life.
No, it's
so,
true. Yes, well, first of all, no one is small to me, so I just want to say you are saying he's small compared to you from your height.
NBA standards.
Right? But Malika, we do hear all the time Ben making the point, hey, I can guard 1 through 5. And in fact, that was his argument in the defensive player of the year discussion, comparing himself to Rudy Gobert. What do you think about this series and which player we should watch besides Joel, obviously?
I mean, obviously, seeing Ben Simmons have that big game five, that was so important for this Philadelphia team. It's going to be, as these gentlemen have said, it's going to be Trae Young versus Ben Simmons, even if it's not always a head-to-head matchup. But I will say that when Trae Young is bowing in the garden, saying the curtain is closed, I know what happens in the shows in this town on that big of a stage, he's got some swagger. I know he hasn't been there before, but he looks like he has a little bit of sauce to his step right now heading into this series. Philadelphia, we know, still has statistically the easiest path to the conference finals and are the favorites in this series, but it's going to be really interesting when Trae Young is flying that high, when Clint Capella is literally calling people out and saying, we're going to come to your house, we're going to come to your town and beat you, when they're riding on that level, I don't know.
It's not going to be easy.
His exact words were, I'm going to send you on vacation, which was tremendous. And in fact, it turned out to be prophetic. Whew. Amazing. I am interested to see what the crowd is going to be like in Philadelphia.
Hey, they booed Santa Claus, remember. Philly booed Santa Claus, so you think the Knicks crowd is bad. Philly doesn't play either.
Well, I think it's a great environment. I mean, Philly has had that incredible home court environment the last couple years, and we've seen arenas ramp up their attendance. We'll see if that happens in Pennsylvania. Malika, thank you so much for joining us. We will see you again soon. Everyone else, stick with us, because coming up, we're going to talk about Nikola Jokic. His Nuggets held off Dame time in Game 5. What can happen when the Blazers try to extend the series tonight? We will lay it out for you. The Blazers returning home after dropping Game 5 in double OT. That was an instant classic. Great play from Jokic and the Nuggets. So, Matt, anything the Blazers can do to force a Game 7 tonight?
Dame's going to have to do it again, and then the supporting cast is going to have to hit some shots. You know, CJ's going to have to step up. He made a few crucial mistakes down this stretch. You know, Carmelo hitting shots, Norman Powell. Guys are going to have to do their job because you know Dame will.
They got to hold Michael Porter Jr. to a reasonable number. They've done that in their victories. Mm-hmm. CJ's got to outplay Monty Morris. That hasn't happened every game this series. Come on, man. That's got to happen. And they got to get some of those role players. Like, I don't know if it's got to be Covington. I don't know if it's Melo. They got to get some shots going to take the pressure off of Dame. You can't expect him to carry that load.
I mean, this series from the start has felt like a seven-gamer to me. These two teams have a history with seven-game series not that long ago. It feels like that's what we could get, but you guys are right. CJ McCollum, in my experience, comes back strong when he doesn't have what he considers his best game, so I'd look for that, and hopefully the home crowd, too. They've increased attendance in Portland tonight. We'll have to see if it pays off. Thanks, everyone. Enjoy the games tonight. We'll see you tomorrow.